Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
The graphic audio production of the Gospel of Mark tells the story in a way you've never quite heard before, one that might lead you to wonder if it really is Mark's text. It is. Mark's gospel is a recollection that describes events in Jesus' brief life, miracles, healings, the arrest, the trial, the execution, and finally, the resurrection. From the reaction of those who witnessed these events, excited crowds, awed disciples, angry priests, grieving friends, Mark shows us that these events were powerful and deeply moving. This production reflects the intensity of those events that inspired Mark's words. And what, precisely, were Mark's words? Mark wrote his gospel in Greek. This production uses a highly accurate translation, but here is how Mark actually began.
Αρχή του Ευαγγελίου Ιησού Χριστού.
Which translated means, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. To hear that verse, exactly as Mark wrote it, is like standing on holy ground. Just as one is the real place, the other is the real word. We may not fully understand, yet we know. They are sacred. From time to time, this production is punctuated by short verses of Mark's original Greek. Together with the production's realism and accuracy, they remind us that these events are as much a revelation now as they were to those who first witnessed them.
Αρχή του Ευαγγελίου Ιησού Χριστού. Καθώς γέγραπτε εν το Ισαία το προφήτη. Ιδού.
The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, here I send my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way. He is a voice of one who shouts in the desert.
Get the road ready for the Lord! Make the paths straight for him!
John the Baptizer appeared in the desert and was preaching a baptism conditioned on repentance to obtain the forgiveness of sins. And people from all over Judea and everybody in Jerusalem kept on going out to him and being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he used to live on dried locusts and wild honey. And he kept preaching.
After me there is coming one who is stronger than I am, whose shoes I am not fit to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you in water, but he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
Now in those days Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as soon as he started to come up out of the water, he saw the heavens split open and the Spirit coming down like a dove to enter him. And out of the heavens came a voice. Then the Spirit at once drove him out into the desert, and he stayed in the desert 40 days while he was being tempted by Satan. Yes, he was with the wild beasts, but the angels continued to wait upon him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God.
The time is ripe!
And the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news.
As he was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets in the sea, for they were fishermen.
Come. Follow me.
Follow?
What?
Follow.
Follow me. And I will make you fishers of men.
And at once they forsook their nets and followed him. He walked on a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in their boats getting their nets in order. Jesus at once called them.
Follow after me.
They left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and went after Jesus. They went into Capernaum, and as soon as the first Sabbath came, he went into the synagogue and began to teach. And they were dumbfounded at his teaching. For he was teaching them like one who had authority to teach, and not like the scribes.
Nazarene!
Just at that moment, there was a man in their synagogue who was under the spell of a foul spirit.
Nazarene! What do you want of us, Jesus? You Nazarene, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. God's Holy One.
Quiet. Get out of him.
Then the foul spirit convulsed him. And with a deafening shriek, got out of him. They were all so dumbfounded that they kept discussing it among themselves.
What does this mean?
It is a new teaching. He gives orders with authority even to foul spirits, and they obey him.
And his fame at once spread in all directions, all over that part of Galilee. As soon as they all left the synagogue, they went home with Simon and Andrew, in company with James and John. And Simon's mother-in-law was confined to her bed with a fever, so they at once told Jesus about her. Then he went up to her, grasped her hand, "Wake up," and had her get up. The fever left her, and she began to wait upon them. In the evening, when the sun had gone down, they kept on bringing to Jesus all the people who were sick or under the power of demons. And the whole town gathered at the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases, and drove out many demons. and would not let the demons speak a word, because they knew who he was. Early in the morning, long before daybreak, Jesus got up and went out to a lonely spot and stayed praying there. And Simon and his companions diligently searched for him and found him.
Oh, everybody is looking for you.
Let us go somewhere else, to the neighboring towns, to preach in them too. Well, that is why I came out here.
So he went all over Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. There came to Jesus a leper, begging him on his knees.
If you want to, you can cure me.
And his heart was moved with pity for him. So Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him.
I do want to.
Be cured.
No.
And the leprosy at once left him, and he was cured. But Jesus at once sent him away and gave him this stringent charge.
See that you tell nobody a single word about it. Be gone. Show yourself to the priest, and to prove it to the people, make the offering for your purification, which Moses prescribed.
But he went out and began to talk freely about it so much, and to spread the story so far, that Jesus could not any more go into any town openly, but had to stay out in thinly settled places. But the people kept coming to him from every quarter. After some days, Jesus came back to Capernaum, and it was reported that he was at home. And so many people gathered there that there was no longer any room, even around the door. He was telling them his message. Then, four men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man. And as they could not get him near to Jesus on account of the crowd, they dug through the roof over the spot where he was standing and let the pallet down that the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he spoke to the paralyzed man.
My son, your sins are forgiven.
Some scribes were sitting there, arguing and saying to themselves,
"Why is he talking this way?
He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?"
Now Jesus had once felt in his spirit that they were arguing about this.
"Why are you arguing to yourselves about this? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say to him, 'Get up, pick up your pallet and start walking'? But to show you that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth..."
He turned to the paralyzed man.
"I tell you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home."
Then he got up and at once picked up his pallet and went out before them all. The result was that they were all dumbfounded and began to praise God.
"We have never seen anything like this before."
"Not at all. We never saw this way."
Jesus went out of the town again and along the seashore. And all the people kept coming to him. And he kept teaching them. And as he was passing by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax collector's office.
"Come. Follow me."
Then Levi got up and followed him. Levi was at table in his house, and he had many tax collectors and notorious sinners as guests, along with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many of them, and they began to follow him. And when the scribes who belonged to the Pharisees' party saw that he was eating with known sinners and tax collectors, they spoke to his disciples.
Why does he eat with tax collectors and notorious sinners?
Jesus heard it and spoke to them.
Those who are able-bodied do not need a doctor, but the sick do. It is not upright people, but sinful people that I have come to invite.
Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were keeping a fast, so some people came and spoke to him.
Your disciples are not fasting.
Why do John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples practice fasting, but yours never do?
The wedding guests cannot fast, can they, while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But a time is coming when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. And then they will fast. No one sews a patch of brand new goods on an old coat. Or if he does, the patch tears away, the new from the old, and the hole becomes bigger than ever. No one puts new wine into old wine bottles. Or if he does, the wine will break the bottles and the wine is lost. And the bottles, too. New wine is to be put up in new bottles.
On the Sabbath, Jesus was passing through the wheat fields, and his disciples started to make a path by pulling off the wheat heads.
Just look.
So the Pharisees began asking him,
why are they doing on the Sabbath what is against the law to do?
Have you never read what David did when he and his soldiers were in need and hungry? Have you? How is it that he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the sacred loaves, which it is against the law for anyone except the priests to eat, and gave part of them to his soldiers, too? The Sabbath was made to serve man, and not man to keep the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.
Then Jesus went into a synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. And they kept closely watching Jesus to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath to get a charge to bring against him. But he spoke to the man with the withered hand.
Get up in the crowd. Is it right to do people good on the Sabbath or to do them evil? To save life or to take it?
But they had nothing to say. So Jesus looked around at them in anger, because he was pained over their stubbornness of mind, and spoke to the man.
Hold out your hand.
And he held it out, and his hand was cured. Then the Pharisees went out and held a consultation with the Herodians against Jesus to put him to death. So Jesus retired with his disciples to the sea, and a vast throng of people followed him from Galilee, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from the other side of the Jordan, and from the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. Yes, a vast throng of people, as they kept hearing of the great things that he was doing, came to him. So Jesus told his disciples to keep a little boat ready for him all the time, to prevent the crowds from crushing him. For he cured so many people that all who had ailments kept crowding up against him to touch him. And whenever the foul spirits saw him,
ah, we are to you.
They fell down before him and screamed. But he charged them time after time, not to tell who he was. Then Jesus went up on the hillside and summoned to him those whom he wanted, and they went to him. And he appointed the 12, to whom he gave the title apostles, to be with him, to send them forth to preach, and to have the right to drive out the demons. The 12 whom he appointed were
Peter,
the name which he gave to Simon,
James,
the son of Zebedee,
and John,
James's brother. He named them Boanerges, which means
sons of thunder. Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot,
who betrayed him. Then Jesus went home. And again, the crowds gathered so that it was not possible for them even to take their meals. His kinsmen heard of it and came over to get hold of Jesus.
He's insane. He has gone crazy.
And the scribes, who had come down from Jerusalem, kept repeating,
"He is under the spell of Beelzebub.
He has Beelzebub.
And by the help of the prince of the demons,
he drives out the demons."
How can Satan drive out Satan?
So he called them to him and continued speaking to them in short stories.
How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is disunited, that kingdom cannot last. And if a household is disunited, that household cannot last. And if Satan has made an insurrection against himself and become disunited, he cannot last, but is surely coming to an end. But no one can get into a giant's house and carry off his goods unless he first binds the giant. After that, he can make a clean sweep of his house. I solemnly say to you, men will be forgiven for all their sins and all the abusive things they say. But whoever speaks abusively against the Holy Spirit can never get forgiveness, but is guilty of a sin that has no end.
He said so because they kept repeating,
"He is under the spell of a foul spirit."
He has a foul spirit.
Then his mother and his brothers came. They were standing outside and sent word to call him. And a crowd was sitting around Jesus when they told him,
"Your mother and your brothers are outside, asking for you."
"Who are my mother and my brothers?"
Then, looking around at the people sitting about him, he spoke,
"Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother."
Then he began again to teach by the seashore. And a crowd gathered around him so great that he got into a boat and was sitting in it, just off the shore.
"Listen! Listen!"
While all the people were on the land close to the sea, he continued teaching them by many stories.
"Listen. A sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some of the seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Some fell upon rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. But when the sun came up, They were scorched and withered away because they had not taken root. Some fell among the thorn seed, and the thorns grew up and choked them out, and they yielded no grain. Some fell in rich soil and came up and grew and yielded 30, 60, even 100-fold. Let him who has ears listen.
When Jesus was by himself, those who stayed about him with the 12 began to ask him about the stories.
To you, the secret of the kingdom of God has been entrusted. But to those who are on the outside, everything is presented in stories so that they may look and yet not see, and listen and yet not understand, lest perchance they should turn and be forgiven. If you do not understand this story, how indeed can you understand any of my stories? The message is what the sower sows. The ones along the path are those who have the message sown in their hearts, but as soon as it is sown there, Satan comes and carries off the message that has been sown in their hearts. In like manner, these are the ones sown on rocky ground. As soon as they hear the truth, they accept it with ecstasy, but it does not take real root in them, and so they last only a little while. Then, when trouble or persecution comes on account of the truth, they at once fall by the way. A different class are those people sown among the thorns. They are people who listen to the message, but the worries of the times, the deceiving pleasures of being rich, and evil desires for other things creep in and choke the truth out, and it yields nothing. And the people sown in rich soil are the people who listen to the message and welcome it and yield 30, 60, even 100-fold. A lamp is not brought to be put under a basket or under a bed, is it? Is it not rather to be put on the lampstand? For nothing is ever hidden by people except for the purpose of having it known. And people do not keep secrets except to tell them. If anyone has ears, let him listen. Take care what you hear. The measure you give will come back to you, and more besides. For whoever has will have more given to him. But whoever has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. The kingdom of God is like a man who scatters seed on the ground, then continues sleeping by night and getting up by day, while the seed sprouts and comes up without his knowing how. The ground of itself produces first the stalk, then the head. At last, there is the matured grain of wheat in the head. But as soon as the crop will permit it, he puts in the sickle, for the reaping time has come. How can I further picture the kingdom of God? Or by what story can I illustrate? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown in the ground, is the smallest of all seeds. But when it is properly sown, it comes up and grows to be the largest of all the plants, and produces branches so large that the wild birds can roost under its shade.
With many stories like these, he kept on telling them the message as far as they could understand it. He did not tell them anything except by stories, but to his own disciples, he kept on privately explaining everything. That same day, when it was evening, Jesus spoke to them.
Let us go over to the other side.
So they left the crowd and took him in the boat in which he was sitting, and there were other boats with him. But a furious squall of wind came, and the waves were dashing over into the boat so that it was fast filling. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. So they woke him up.
Teacher! Teacher! Huh? Is it no concern to you that we are going down?
Then Jesus arose and reproved the wind and commanded the sea.
Quiet!
Be still!
And the wind lulled, and there was a great calm.
Why are you afraid? Have you no faith yet?
They were very much frightened.
Who can he be?
Because even the wind and the sea obey him.
So they landed on the other side of the sea in the region of Gerasa. As soon as he got out of the boat, a man under the power of a foul spirit and from the tombs met him.
What do you want?
Because he had often been fastened with fetters and chains, but had snapped the chains and broken the fetters, and no one was strong enough to overpower him. All night and all day he kept screaming among the tombs and on the hills and kept gashing himself with stones. On catching a glimpse of Jesus from a distance, he ran up and fell down on his knees before him.
What do you want of me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, I beg you, do not torture me.
You foul spirit, come out of him. What is your name?
My name is Legion, for we are many.
And they kept on, earnestly begging him not to send them out of that country. Now there was a large drove of hogs grazing on the hillside, and the demons begged him.
Send us among the hogs, so that we can get into them.
So he let them do so. And the foul spirits came out of the man and got into the hogs. And the drove of about 2,000 rushed over the cliff and into the sea. And were drowned. Then the hog feeders fled and spread the news in the town and in the country around. And the people came to see what had taken place. When they came to Jesus and saw the man who had once been insane under the power of many demons, and in his right mind, they were frightened. And those who had seen it told them what had happened to the man who had been under the power of the demons and about the hogs. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. And as he was getting into the boat, the once insane man kept begging him to let him go with him. However, he did not let him.
Go home to your folks and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and taken pity on you.
And so, he went away and began to tell everybody in the 10 cities how much Jesus had done for him. And everybody was dumbfounded. When Jesus again had crossed in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him as he was standing on the seashore. and a man named Jairus, a leader of a synagogue, came up. And when he saw Jesus, he flung himself at his feet.
My dear little daughter is at the point of death. Come, lay your hands on her so that she may get well and live.
So Jesus went off with him, and a great crowd kept following him and jostling him.
Touch his clothes. Touch his clothes.
Then, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had suffered much at the hands of many doctors and had spent all she had and yet was not a whit benefited, but rather grew worse, heard the reports about Jesus.
Touch his clothes. Touch his clothes. If I can only touch his clothes, I shall get well.
So she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his coat. Her hemorrhage stopped at once.
Oh.
And she felt in her body that she was cured. Jesus had once perceived that power had gone out of him.
Who touched my clothes?
And so he turned around in the crowd.
Who touched my clothes?
You see the crowd jostling you, and yet you ask, who touched me?
Still, he kept looking around to see her who had done it. So the woman, as she knew what had taken place for her, though frightened and trembling, came forward and fell on her knees before his feet and told him the whole truth.
My daughter, your faith has cured you. Go in peace and be free from your disease.
Even while he was saying this, people came from the house of the leader of the synagogue.
Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any longer?
But Jesus paid no attention to what was said, but spoke to the leader of the synagogue.
Do not be afraid. Only keep up your faith.
He let no one go with him but Peter, James, and James's brother John. They came to the home of the leader of the synagogue, and there he saw confusion and people weeping and wailing without restraint. And Jesus went into the house.
Why do you continue all this confusion and crying? The little girl is not dead. Yes, she is sleeping.
Sleeping?
Then they began to laugh in his face. But he drove them all out and took the little girl's father and mother and the men with him and went into the room where the little girl was. Then he grasped her hand and spoke to her.
Talitha kum. Little girl, I tell you, get up.
And the little girl at once got up. And started walking around, for she was 12 years old. And instantly, they were completely dumbfounded. But he strictly charged them to let nobody know about it and told them to give her something to eat. Jesus left there and went back to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the people were dumbfounded when they heard him.
Where did he get all these things? What sort of wisdom is it that has been given him?
And such mighty deeds are done by him.
Is he not the carpenter, Mary's son?
And the brother of James?
And Joseph, and Judas.
And Simon? And do not his sisters live here among us?
And they were offended at him. But Jesus spoke to them.
A prophet never fails to be honored, except in his native neighborhood, among his kinsmen, and in his own home.
He could not do any mighty deeds there, except that he put his hands on a few ailing people and cured them. And he wondered at their lack of faith in him. Then he made a circle of the villages and continued teaching. And he called the 12 to him and sent them out two by two and gave them power over the foul spirits. He ordered them not to take anything for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in the purse. They were to go with plain sandals on their feet and not to wear two shirts.
Whenever you put up at a house, stay there until you leave that place. And if any place refuses to welcome you or to listen to you, when you leave there, shake off the very dust from the soles of your feet as a warning to them.
So they went out and preached that men should repent, and drove out many demons, and cured many sick people by anointing them with oil.
Jesus.
King Herod heard of Jesus, for his name was now on everybody's lips. And people were saying that John the Baptist had risen from the dead, and that this was why such mighty powers were working in him. But others were saying that he was Elijah, and still others that he was a prophet, like the prophets of old. But hearing this, Herod thought,
John, whom I beheaded, has risen from the dead.
For this very Herod had sent and seized John, and bound him and put him in prison, just to please Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod himself had married her. For John kept speaking out to Herod,
It is not right for you to be living with your brother's wife.
So Herodias had it in for John, and wanted to have him killed. But she could not have it done, for Herod stood in awe of John, because he knew that he was an upright and holy man, and so he protected him. When he heard him speak, he was very much disturbed, and yet he liked to hear him. But the right day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet to his state officials, his military officers, and other leading men of Galilee. And Herodias' daughter Salome came in. Danced for them and fascinated Herod and his guests. So the king called the girl over.
Ask me for anything you want, and I will give it to you. I will give you anything you ask for, up to half my kingdom.
She left the room and asked her mother,
What shall I ask him for?
The head of John the Baptist.
Then she rushed at once before the king.
I want you, this very minute, to give me John the Baptist's head on a platter.
The king, although exceedingly sorry, yet on account of his oath and his guests, would not refuse her, and so at once ordered a soldier of his guard to bring his head. The soldier went off, beheaded John in the prison. Brought back his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came
and carried off his corpse and laid it in a tomb.
Και συνάγονται οι Απόστολοι προς τον Ιησούν και απήγγειλαν αυτό πάντα ως επίσαν.
The apostles returned and met Jesus and reported to him everything, how many things they had done and taught, and he spoke to them.
Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and rest a little while.
For there was an endless stream of people coming and going, and they had no time even to eat. So they got off in their boat to be by themselves in a quiet place. But many people saw them start and knew of it and ran around the lake from all the towns and got there ahead of them. So when Jesus got out of the boat, he saw a great crowd waiting. And his heart was moved with pity at the sight of them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd. And so he proceeded to teach them a number of things. When it grew late, his disciples came to him.
This is a destitute place,
and it is already late. Send the crowds off to the farms and villages to buy themselves something to eat.
Give them something to eat yourselves.
Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?
How many loaves have you? Go and see.
They found out and told him, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them all to sit down in rows on the green grass. And so they tumbled down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up to heaven and blessed the loaves and broke them in pieces. And gave the pieces to the disciples to pass on to the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and had plenty. And the pieces they took up from the loaves made 12 basketfuls besides the pieces from the fish. There were 5,000 men who ate the loaves. Then he insisted that the disciples at once get into their boat and cross ahead of him toward Bethsaida while he was sending the crowd away. After he had told them goodbye, he went up the hill to pray. Now when evening had come, the boat was in the middle of the sea while he was alone on land. And he saw that they were struggling at the oars, for the wind was against them. A while before daybreak, he started toward them, walking on the sea. And he meant to go right up beside them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought that it was a ghost.
A phantom!
A ghost!
For they all saw him and were terrified, but he at once spoke to them.
Keep up your courage. It is I. Stop being afraid.
Then he went up to them and got into the boat. And the wind lulled. They were completely dumbfounded, for they did not understand the lesson of the loaves. Their minds were dull. They crossed over to the other side and came to Gennesaret and anchored the boat. As soon as they got out of the boat, the people recognized him. And they hurried all over the countryside and began to bring the sick to him on their pallets wherever they heard he was. And whatever villages or towns or country places he came to, they would lay the sick in the marketplaces and beg him to let them touch just the tassel of his coat. And everybody that touched it was cured. The Pharisees met about Jesus, and also some scribes who had come from Jerusalem. They had noticed that some of his disciples were in the habit of eating their meals without first giving their hands a ceremonial washing to make them clean.
For the Pharisees and all the Jews practice the customs handed down to them from their forefathers and will never eat until they have carefully washed their hands. And they never eat anything brought from the market until they wash it. And they have many other religious practices which they got from their forefathers, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and pans. And so the Pharisees and the scribes questioned Jesus.
Why is it that your disciples do not practice the customs handed down from our forefathers?
Yes, eat their meals without purifying their hands.
Isaiah beautifully prophesied about you hypocrites. As the scripture says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far, far away from me. Their worship of me is but an empty show. The things they teach are but men's precepts." You give up what God has commanded. You cling to what men hand down. Oh, you are fine teachers to cancel what God commanded in order to keep what men have handed down. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother." And again, "Whoever curses his father or mother must certainly be put to death." But you say, if a man tells his father or mother, "Everything I have that may be of use to you is korban," that is, consecrated to God, you let him off from doing anything more for his father or mother. And so you set aside what God has said by what you have handed down. You have many other practices like these.
Again, Jesus called the people to him.
"Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that goes into a man from the outside can make him foul. But the things that come from the inside of a man are the things that make him foul."
Now, when he had left the crowd and gone home, his disciples were asking him the meaning of this story.
"Are you too without understanding yet? Do you not know that nothing from the outside that goes into a man can make him foul? Because it does not reach his heart, but only his stomach, and then passes off into the waste."
In thus speaking, he made all foods clean. He kept on speaking.
"The thing that comes from the inside of a man is the thing that makes him foul. For from the inside, that is, from the hearts of men, come designs for doing evil, sexual immorality, stealing, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, abusiveness, haughtiness, thoughtlessness. All these things come from the inside of a man and make him foul."
Then Jesus left there and went into the neighborhood of Tyre and Sidon. He went into a house and wanted no one to know that he was there. But he could not escape public notice. On the contrary, a woman whose little daughter had a foul spirit had once heard about him and came and flung herself at his feet. She was a heathen who spoke Greek and had been born in Syrophoenicia, and she kept begging him to drive the demon out of her daughter.
"Let
the children first eat all they want, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it out to the house dogs."
"Yes, Lord, but even the puppies underneath the table eat from the crumbs of the children."
"Because you have said this, go home. The demon has gone out of your daughter."
She went home and found her daughter lying in bed, and the demon gone out. He left the neighborhood of Tyre and went by way of Sidon through the district of the Ten Cities down to the Sea of Galilee. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and almost dumb, and they begged him to lay his hand upon him. So Jesus took him off from the crowd by himself and put his fingers in his ears and touched his tongue with saliva. Then he looked up to heaven.
Ephphatha,
be opened.
And the man's ears were opened, and his tongue was untied, and he began to speak distinctly. Then Jesus charged them not to tell anybody about it. But the more he kept charging them, the more they kept spreading the news. So the people were overwhelmingly dumbfounded.
How wonderfully he has done everything!
In those days when a great crowd again had gathered and they had nothing to eat, he called his disciples to him.
My heart goes out in pity for these people, for they have been staying with me 3 days now, and they have nothing left to eat. And if I send them home hungry, they will give out on the road. And some of them are a long way from home.
Huh. Where can anyone get enough bread here?
In this destitute place? To give these people plenty?
How many loaves have you?
Seven.
So, he ordered the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and gave thanks, and broke them in pieces and gave them to his disciples to pass. And they passed them to the people. And they had a few small fish, and he blessed them, and told them to pass these too to the people. And they ate and had plenty. And they took up the pieces left over, which made seven hamper basketfuls. About 4,000 people were there. Then he sent them away, and he at once got into the boat and crossed to the district of Dalmanutha. Now the Pharisees came out and began a discussion with him, and to test him, asked him to show them a spectacular sign from heaven. But Jesus sighed in spirit.
Why do the people of these times ask for a sign? I solemnly say, no sign at all will be given them.
And he left them, and again got into the boat, and crossed to the other side. Now they had forgotten to bring any bread. That is, they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus kept warning them,
"Look out! Beware the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod."
So they were discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And when Jesus noticed it, he spoke to them.
"Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet know nor understand? Are your minds so dull? Since you have eyes, can you not see with them? Since you have ears, can you not hear with them? Do you remember how many basketfuls of pieces you picked up when I broke the five loaves in pieces for the 5,000?
12.
And how many hamper basketfuls of pieces when I broke the seven loaves in pieces for the 4,000?
Seven.
How is it that you do not understand?"
Then they came to Bethsaida. And they brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. He took him by the hand and led him outside the village. Then spit in his eyes and laid his hands upon him.
"Do you see anything?"
I see the people.
Mm-hmm.
"But they look to me like trees moving around."
Then Jesus laid his hands upon his eyes again, and the man looked the best he could and was cured. And saw everything distinctly. So Jesus sent him home with a warning.
"Do not ever go into the village."
Then Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way there, he was asking his disciples,
"Who do people say that I am?"
"John the Baptist."
"Others say Elijah."
"But others, one of the prophets."
"Who do you yourselves say that I am?"
"You are the Christ."
But Jesus strictly warned them not to tell this about him to anybody. Then he instructed them, for the first time, that the Son of Man had to endure great suffering and be disowned by the elders and the high priests and the scribes and be killed. But after 3 days, he would rise again. And without any reserve, he was telling them this fact. So Peter took him aside and began to reprove him for it. But Jesus turned and glanced at his disciples and reproved Peter.
"Get out of my way, Satan! Because this view of yours is not from God, but from men."
Then he called the people to him, along with his disciples.
"If anyone wants to be my disciple, he must say no to self, put the cross on his shoulders,
and follow me.
For whoever wants to save his higher life will have to give up the lower life. And whoever gives up his lower life for me and for the good news will save the higher life. For what benefit will it be to a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what price can a man give to buy back life? For whoever is ashamed of me and my teaching in this unfaithful, sinful age, then the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes back in his Father's splendor with the holy angels. I solemnly say to you,
some of the people standing here will certainly live to see the kingdom of God come in its power."
Six days after this, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up on a high mountain alone by themselves. And in their presence, his appearance was changed, and his clothes were shining as white as white could be, whiter than any earthly bleacher could bleach them. And Elijah appeared to them, accompanied by Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter interrupted and spoke to Jesus.
"Teacher, it is good for us to be here. So let us put up 3 tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah."
But he did not really know what to say. He was so frightened. Then a cloud came and was circling over them, and a voice came out of the cloud. And as quick as a flash, on looking around, they saw no one with them but Jesus by himself. And while they were going down the mountain, he cautioned them not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man should rise from the dead. And they held that caution fast in their minds as they continued to discuss among themselves what rising from the dead meant.
"Why do the scribes say that Elijah has to come first?"
"Elijah does come first and gets everything ready. But how is it that the scripture says about the Son of Man that he will suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and people treated him just as they pleased.
as the scripture says about him.
When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And all the people were utterly amazed when they saw Jesus and ran up to him and greeted him.
Teacher! Teacher!
Why are you arguing with him?
Teacher, I brought my son to you. For he has a mute spirit. Wherever it seizes him, it convulses him. And he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth. And he is wasting away. So I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they could not do it.
Oh, you unbelieving people of the times. How long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me.
And they brought the boy to him. As soon as the spirit saw Jesus, it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and kept rolling over and foaming at the mouth.
How long has he been like this?
From his childhood. Many a time he's thrown him into the fire, or into the water to destroy him. But if there's anything you can do for him...
If there's anything I can do, everything is possible for him who has faith.
Oh, I do have faith. Help my lack of faith.
Then Jesus, because he saw that a crowd was rushing up to him, reproved the foul spirit.
You, deaf and dumb spirit, get out of him. I charge you, and never get into him again.
Then it gave a shriek and violently convulsed the boy. And got out of him. And the boy looked like a corpse, so much so that the people said that he was dead. But Jesus grasped his hand and raised him. And he got up.